One of the things that all of us strive to do as Christians is to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, even when sometimes that's not so convenient or easy to do. And it doesn't come without some instance of spiritual warfare in most cases. After going to the assembly yesterday, which you'll hear more about in a few minutes, I realized I had to, at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, throw away the homily I'd worked on for 2 weeks and prepare to talk about what you're going to hear this morning. Now, there was a lot of spiritual warfare involved in coming to that decision, because yesterday I got here at 6 o'clock in the morning to get on the bus that Father Dan so graciously helped arrange to take parishioners to the assembly. And I go in to get my vestments, my garment bag is gone. So I simply decided to let it go and enjoy the day. Not without some angst and not without some, a little bit of that nudging and spiritual warfare along the way, but it's okay. So praying last night, and I think even in my dreams and waking up this morning, I was preparing to come here and speak today. And on the way into the building, I caught my toe, fell, and landed on my side. So if I don't raise my hand too high or I cough real shallow, you know why. But all those things don't have to stop you. When you're engaged in spiritual warfare, you know it. And you simply have to push the evil one aside and do what you know you need to do. We have to have the strength of Christ on our side and accept it and use it and push the evil one away. Now, about the assembly, it was incredible. Some 14,000 Catholics in one building at the same time. We were raising the roof in song and in prayer. It was an experience like I've never seen before. And it started off with a procession of the Holy Eucharist, like a Corpus Christi procession that you're probably familiar with, a little over 4 miles from the cathedral in Lansing to the Breslin Center on the MSU campus. 5,000 people in procession. What a witness that was to the city of Lansing and the state of Michigan, the entire nation, and even the world, that we're not going to run away and hide. Even with all the difficulties, even with all the challenges we face now, we're not going to run away and hide. We're still here to proclaim that Jesus is Lord and go from there. Follow those promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, is there anybody that was here yesterday? Yeah, there's a few. Okay. So I apologize for you having to hear some of it again, but you can also testify to what was said and to your experience when other people ask you. There were several keynote speakers there that really had some profound things to say. The first one was Father Mike Schmitz. Many of you know him from his podcasts on the internet and videos on YouTube about different subjects. Very dynamic, very faithful, very in tune with his faith fellow. And he was telling us about the story of a young lady who sadly contracted cancer. But she did not let the problem with the illness interfere with her happiness and her joy. She resolved that if she was to receive a healing and a cure, that would be great and there would be joy in it. But if she wasn't and she was to be called home, there's joy in that too. And she resolved that no matter what, she would be joyful and happy through that. Father Mike talked about how at the very moment she went to be with the Lord, there were a bunch of people praying with him to lift her up in prayer. Now, a lot of us are very good about lifting someone up in prayer. But it occurred to me, listening to Father Mike, that a lot of us are not very good about letting others lift us up in prayer. We kind of like to be John Wayne, be tough, and just like, I'll get through this myself. I don't have to worry about it. But that simply is not true. We have to let other people lift us up in prayer as well as us lift others. And just as an example of that, I'm going to be having a heart procedure on Wednesday. I'm going to freeze some tissue in my heart to try and get rid of the AFib. And somebody told me, well, you'll really be cold-hearted then, won't you? And I'm not telling you that to just simply ask for prayers. I'm mentioning that just as an example, so that when something happens to you, whether it's personal or with your job or with your health or with a relationship, that you have the courage to ask for prayer, to ask other people to lift you up, because in the end, we're all in this together, and none of us can do it on our own. Another speaker was Deacon Larry Oney from the Diocese of Nolens. What a dynamic guy. If you're not hanging on and got your seatbelt fastened, he'll blow your doors off. He's really incredible. He talked about how the church has always had difficult times, the church has always had challenges, and always God has raised up prophets. Always he has raised up people to point the way, to fix things, to make them better, to improve things, and draw yourself closer to God. He emphasized several times that we just can't be the frozen chosen and set on our tush. We have to be in the world, but not of the world. We have to make our presence known and make, more importantly, Jesus' presence known. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You guys catch on faster than the people at the assembly did. That's really good. We have to do that in the workplace. We have to do that in the world. That's our calling. That's what it means to be Christian. And the final speaker was a lady by the name of Jennifer. I knew I was going to miss it. That's why I always carry an aide with me.
Fulweiler.
Fulweiler. Thank you, Father. Jennifer Fulweiler. Her story is like many other people. She was raised atheist, but she was taught to seek the truth. And she told a lot about her story and how she never realized or came to believe that there was anything beyond this world until she held her first infant in her arms. And that she realized then that there was more to the life that we have than what we can see. And she told a number of other things. She shared with us a number of other stories, how the Lord provided them a house and the means to do many different things. But the last piece of her story, I think, is what was most important. She told about how she was going through her grandmother's things after her grandmother had passed. And in those things, she found a baptismal candle. Her baptismal candle. Without her ever knowing, she'd been baptized Catholic. Then it made sense to her why she had to seek, why she had to find Jesus, who is the truth, the life, and the way. And in that story, I found hope. Because like a lot of us, we have children that have fallen away, and we worry about them. But if they're marked with that indelible sign, there's hope. There's always hope for our children. A lot of people like to blame themselves. They think they didn't do right, they didn't do well, and I want to assure you that that's not the case. Children have to find their own way. That's growing up. That's becoming an adult. That's finding your own path in life. But you did not fail. And there is always, always hope for your children. So I'm thankful to Bishop Boyer for having the courage and the foresight to arrange an event like yesterday. It was sorely needed. A lot of it was recorded. Some 7,000 other people watched parts of it on Facebook that was streamed live yesterday. It will be an example, hopefully, to other places in the country, other places in the world. But the final point I want to make to you is this logo. You'll find out in the gathering space probably still a number of pieces of literature about the assembly yesterday. And what I want you to notice is the word happiness. There's kind of a stylized P there. It's not a regular P like the other one. What that actually is a Greek symbol. It's a chiro. It's the symbol for Christ. It's a reminder to us that there is no true happiness without Christ. If you're hoping that things will make you happy, you're bound to be disappointed. Because once you acquire one thing, there'll be other things. You won't be happy for long. But Christ is our true happiness. That's where we find happiness. That's where we find peace. What I'd encourage you to do is go to the diocesan websites and to Facebook and to all those places and to find some of those speakers and hear what they said for yourself. Because just as surely as some of the things that I've shared with you touched me, they said other things that will touch you. So you owe it to yourself to do that. Be one of the 14,000 that maybe wasn't there in person but was there in spirit. And use those things to help you find the true happiness in life.